We are here at AASA having some amazing conversations with some amazing district leaders. I am here with Dr. Dan Streeter, and I'm excited because we're about to hear about all you're doing in your district, all that you're doing to accelerate reading achievement. So let's start with, can you tell us a little bit about your district, where it's located? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thank you. Thanks for allowing me to share our story. I am the proud superintendent of the Marana Unified School District. Marana is a community, a suburb of the Tucson area in southern Arizona, about 13,000 students, 18 schools, growing district. We'll be opening two new schools in 2025 and planning for more after that. So we have a really diverse student body, really from the standpoint of the community that our district serves, where we have some really high income areas. We talk about Dove Mountain being in the shadows of the Ritz-Carlton.
Okay.
And then we have a couple of schools that are very rural in nature, middle of the desert, and serve communities out there where we really serve as the hub of the community,
okay.
Right? Our students are there much longer than
bell
to bell,
right?
So diverse community from that standpoint, but really a dynamic staff, dynamic student body, and really great parents that support our work.
That sounds exciting. You've got the whole stretch
Yes. Of
the line. So what are you all doing as it relates to literacy to move the needle and accelerate reading achievement in your district?
Yeah, so you know, our story really starts... Well, it would start well before the pandemic, but as we were talking before this, the pandemic shed a light on some things in our district. Coming out of the pandemic, we took a look at our literacy scores, and there was really a call to action that we were going to have to be much more intentional with what we were doing with regards to early literacy strategies and how do we move our kids from learning to read to that point where they're then reading to learn, right? And so coming out of the pandemic, we saw those challenges, but the reality is those challenges existed before the pandemic. But we used this as an opportunity. This was that sense of urgency that was in place that allowed us to kind of take that action. So our story is we brought our teachers together. We brought our staff together. We shared our data across the district and said, look, there's an issue here. What's our plan? And we wanted to hear it from our certified staff, our administrative staff, our support staff, what their thoughts were. And we really created two buckets, if you will, or maybe a T-chart of what steps we were going to take now today and what steps we're going to start looking at for long-term changes in our district. And I bet you have a follow-up question.
Well, I just love the perspectives that you had coming to the table because you weren't just asking one question. You were asking multiple questions to really start to identify the gap areas. And then that T-chart really allowed you to pinpoint what's actionable right now, which is how you get your early adopters, which is how you start to really get the motivation and the passion behind the work, and then breaking it down to move it forward. That's solid. That's solid there.
Right. And we talk about, it's about creating commitment,
right?
When you bring multiple voices to the table, that's how you're going to create commitment system-wide.
Yeah.
And so diving into we knew immediate steps next day, what we had to do was get trained adults in front of kids. And it was as many trained adults as we could on our campuses. So you saw, we immediately went into reading groups that were being run by our teachers on campus, our principals, our assistant principals, our counselors, our teachers' aides, cafeteria staff in between breakfast, lunch, trying to get our kids in front of as many adults as we could so that we could start doing the work that needed to be done.
So then with all that great work, what are some of the successes that you saw come and be birthed from that immediate action and even planning out?
Right. So, and then planning out, right? We had to evaluate where we were in our own reading program,
What
the supports on our campuses were. You know, today we have a reading specialist on every campus. We have literacy coaches that are working with our classroom teachers on day-to-day literacy activities, what progress monitoring looks like, how we're forming our groups, how we're moving students around that, right? So putting those pieces into place so that we could start to move the needle, identifying what was the components of a literacy program that we needed to have in place. Were we as intentional as we needed to be about phonemic awareness, about phonics, right? About vocabulary, comprehension, fluency, the different aspects of a strong literacy program. So putting those in place, it gave our teachers confidence, having guaranteed viable curriculum behind them, supporting them. It gave them direction. And we're starting to see the fruits of that labor with some immediate successes, where we're seeing student achievement taking a trajectory which everybody would be much more happy seeing, right? An upward trajectory.
Yeah. So I have a question. Because now you're creating professional people who are experts in front of students who know what they're doing, who are clear, did you see an outpouring that now you're beginning to see more community involvement, parent involvement, because now those qualified teachers are able to provide parents with explicit skills or strategies that they can do at home? Like, are you seeing that happen?
That's a great question and a great point. I think we've always done a nice job with parental involvement.
Right.
And now as we make that shift to parental engagement, and that's a hot topic. I mean, that's an educational topic. But what does that mean? It's not just giving parents the tools at home to help support their child in kind of their everyday living skills. But now how do you help your child become a much more literate student going forward? So it was sharing our literacy strategies with our parents so they could support at home. Great program that I'm really excited about is, and we're piloting this on two schools, but now bringing parents into our schools, which we've always done, but having parents come in and training them in our literacy program and having them run reading groups on our campuses. A much different level of parental engagement.
They're running the reading groups in your classrooms?
Part of our trained adults. Wow. Why would you not tap into parents that could come and be a part of that solution?
Tell me more about that. Like, you've already piloted it, right?
So we're in two of our schools. We've always had parent volunteers.
Right.
I think traditionally parent volunteers
stapling
are making copies,
papers,
tapling, cutting things out.
Right.
And our parents certainly love to do that. But
right.
We also had a group of parents that said, hey, where else can I help? And so that's where we stepped in and said, look, we have a reading specialist on campus. We have literacy coaches.
Wow.
Let us train you. And let you become part of the solution, working with small reading groups, helping us with the progress monitoring, helping us with making the movements forward. So excited about it. Parents are quick to volunteer on their campuses. Now we're looking at ways that parents can support not just their local campus, but other campuses across
their district. Because if they have that skill set and you've now provided them with those tools, can you imagine what they can do in the centers and the YMCAs, if they even have those anymore? But, you know, just in the community to help students even outside of school. Right.
Right? And it's a partnership. Parents are our partners.
Absolutely.
This is a core value in our district.
Oh, wow.
And this is a great example of how we're doing that.
Wow. That is really awesome.
Yes.
I love that. So have you experienced any setbacks, or what are some of the challenges that you've faced in this work?
This episode is brought to you by Just Write Reader. At Just Write Reader, we make decodable books in English and Spanish that are great for kids, schools, and families. Our decodables tell authentic stories of student lives, follow a rigorous phonics progression, and include a short video phonics lesson that reinforces learning at home and in school. To learn more about accelerating reading achievement with decodables, visit justwritereader.com.
So any change initiative is going to bring challenges. Anytime you're putting a spotlight on challenges with regards to literacy, remember, we had a group of teachers that were really effective at this, but we're doing it in isolation, right? And so while they were getting success, that's great, but how is that success happening in a vertical articulation movement? What was that meaning for students as they move through the system? Were we addressing the needs of all students? So making a big change, making a programmatic change, getting everybody on board is always a challenge. And that's where we use data constantly to identify our successes and to try to build momentum off our successes. I think the other thing that's critical for school leaders and school districts is making sure that your governing board is a part of this process.
Yeah.
When we started making our adoptions and changing staffing patterns, we had a very candid conversation that in a system with 13,000 students in 18 schools, not everybody's going to be on board.
Right.
We brought voice to the table.
Right.
We've created commitment, but not everybody's going to be on board through
right.
the process.
Right.
We have to stay committed to the work that we've agreed okay. to and be willing to push through some of those valleys that we're going to experience along the way.
I love that.
So some of those challenges, but I'd say there are any change initiative you're going to yeah. deal with that. It's making sure that all of your staff has the tools, resources, and support that they need so that they can do this work at the highest possible level.
You're doing some really fantastic work, and I'm really excited to see, just to watch and continue to see how it continues to move. It's really exciting.
It's exciting for us too, by the way.
I'm telling you, when you said that, I was like, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. We have so many brilliant parents.
100%.
We have it's just literally a pool of resource right there that you tapped into in the most beautiful way. And I think that's fantastic.
And I think parents are excited to be entrusted
yeah.
with a deeper responsibility yeah. when we talk about bringing parents into our schools, right?
They're
it is
the
beyond
solution.
Stapling and copying.
That's fantastic. Right? Okay. So we get a lot of information all the time as leaders, as educators, as district leaders. If you were going to give two pieces of advice to anyone listening, district leaders, what would that advice be?
First point I would say, and I can't stress this enough, and I know folks know this, but bring the voices to the table. You have to bring the voices to the table. The voices are gonna lead in a committed direction.
Right.
And when that direction is set, you're gonna create a lot of momentum behind that. But you have to bring a variety of voices to the table to have this conversation. I think that's one of the things where I have tremendous supports in my district that are really skilled at bringing those voices to the table and setting
right.
your direction.
Right.
Do that, and then you have to stay the course, right? Change is hard, you keep pushing, because at the end of the day, when we think about where we're gonna be 5 years from now, the skills that our kids are gonna have as they start to move through our system, it's pretty exciting work that's taking yeah. place in our district.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your time, right? We get so much valuable information in these short conversations because it's like quick and to the point. But I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk to us and share with us what you're doing and how you're moving the needle. So thank you for your time.
I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thanks for joining us. If you found this conversation valuable, please subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. We will see you next time on Science of Reading Leadership, Guiding Minds, Transforming Lives.